We're going next to Kina Mem Aleph. Kina Mem Aleph is another one of the modern kinais. In fact, it's the most modern of all the ones that are part of the classic collection of kinais. It's from the events of 1242, which was the Sreifas HaTalmud, when after Nicholas Donin was a Meshumid who told the church about, told the Pope about things in the Talmud that he thought would be found offensive. And then the rabbis of Spain, of France, the rabbis of France, led by Rav Yechiel, Rosh Yeshiva of Paris, were demanded that they come to answer. It was really a trial of the Talmud. And the Talmud was found guilty. And at that time, it became illegal to have any Sifrei HaTalmud in France. Sifrei HaTalmud was defined as any Sfarim having to do with Torah Shebaal Peh, meaning the Bible was still okay, but Talmud or anything related to that, any Halacha Sfarim, because Halacha comes from the Talmud, Midrashim, all things that are associated with Torah Shebaal Peh became banned. And the police went through the streets of Paris and further out also in areas that were under the control of the King of France and confiscated all of the Sifrei HaTalmud. Now this was, France was the Makom of the Balei HaTosfos. A short time ago we were talking about the Gezeir of Shnas Tatnu. That was the beginning of the Tekuf of the Balei HaTosfos. That was while Rashi was still alive. And the Tam wasn't even born yet. The Rashbam was a youngster. The very, very beginning, or maybe right before the Balei HaTosfos. And this mice is in 1242. This is in France. That was in Germany. This was in France. This is the end of the Tekufa of the Balei HaTosfos, near the end. And as bookends of the Tekufa, it really conveys a very strong message. You know, we fancy ourselves B'nai Torah. We learn Gemara with Farshim, we learn Ve'iyan, we learn Tosfos. We've all had the experience of learning Tosfos. We're familiar a little bit with what it means to learn a sugya with Tosfos. Who were they? What were they? Where did they come from? Where does that Torah come from? That Torah, which was really, it was the what they do, just if you think about it, what the Balei HaTosfos do is they change every Gemara from an experience of learning one particular Gemara to an experience of learning all of Shas. Because they take each Gemara and they bring in all the other Gemaras elsewhere that have bearing on this Gemara that might appear to contradict, and they figure out how to reconcile those contradictions. Many of them are Shal described the avoid of the Balei HaTosfos is they changed the Talmud from a line into a ball. They changed it from a linear experience, where now I'm learning Daf Beis, and now I'm learning Daf Gimel, now I'm learning Daf Dalet, to the experience of holding a globe, holding a sphere, where the whole thing is in your hands at one time. Any sugya that you're learning, you may be learning it on getting Daf Beis, on Bava Metzia Daf Beis, but if the same Gemara, if there's Gemara from Cheskas Habatim that you really have to know to understand Bava Metzia Daf Beis, so the Balei HaTosfos will make sure you're getting that whole experience. They'll bring in Cheskas Habatim to Shnayim Oichzim, and Shnayim Oichzim to Cheskas Habatim, and every other Gemara, and every Daf and Shas, they bring in the other Gemaras. That's what the Balei HaTosfos did. Where did they do it? They did it between Shnas Tatnu and the Gezeira of the Sreifas HaTalmud, and trust me, these weren't isolated incidents. These were bookends, but there were other mitzvahs along the way. They did it in a setting of extreme sinna, in a setting of extreme persecution. It was, David HaMelech says, "Af chachmasi amdali," and Chazal Darshan, "Teirah shalamadati ba'af, hisha amdali." There's a special school associated with Torah that's learned under adversity. That's Tosfos. Tosfos, there was no such thing as about Tosfos that had a nice day. It was always Limud HaTorah under adversity, Limud HaTorah under Mesiras Nefesh. And that produced the Taisus that we have. Our what Klal Yisrael has now is being nene from that Torah. That's a perspective that we get, maybe that we only think about on Tisha B'Av. We read about Shnas Tatnu, we read about the Shevet HaTalmud. That's the Taisus. Now, this Kina, which was composed by the Merami Rutenberg, he was Gadol Hadar. Later, at the end of the 1200s, he was the Gadol Hadar. He was a young man at the time of this story, but he was there. He lived at that time. He was a witness to the events. And he composed this poem to lament the Sreifas Hatera, the Srufa Be'esh of the first line, Shali Srufa Be'esh. Who's the Srufa Be'esh? That's the Torah. So the whole piyut is spoken in the second person, with addressing the Torah, talking to the Torah. The Torah, which is Srufa Be'esh, should be Shali L'Shloim Avilayach, should seek the welfare, the Shalom of those that are mourning for you. HaMis'avim Shchoim Chasaz V'Layach, that wish they could be back in the Beis Medrash. Look at the third stanza. Holchim Chasheichim Ve'in Noiga. They're walking in the dark, without light. The koivim la'or yoimam asher yizrach aleihem v'alayach, and they're wishing for the light of day that would shine upon them and upon you. Let's give another couple of stanzas. Eicha nesuna be'esh oichla te'ukal be'esh basar. Such a graphic line. It says the Torah that was given in a consuming fire, how could it be that it's now consumed by a mortal fire? And the those that tried to set it on fire didn't get burnt from the coals. How long will this Adina, referring to the empire under which they were living, how long could they go on living peacefully? Teishiv Rav Gaiva. And to have the audacity, lishpoit b'nei kel b'chol ha-mishpatim v'savi b'fli layich, to bring the Torah into, to bring you into their judgment. Oitigza l'sreif das eish v'chukim, and not only to judge, but to have a verdict and a sentence, to pass a sentence of burning upon the Torah. V'lachin ashri shashayim lach m'layich, and so I look forward to when you're paid back, you, the Goyim of France, should be paid back for what you did. And now, the next few stanzas, he has a very, very poignant perspective on seeing the Torah being brought to this disgrace. Suri b'lapid v'esh halavav r'zenes aneich ki b'achriseich t'lahit esh b'shulayich. The Rebbeinu Shalom gave the Torah with flames. Was it for this? Halavav Rezeh? Was it because of this that Hashem gave the Torah Belapid Va'esh to indicate the prophecy that Ba'achriseich T'lahit Eish B'Shulayich, that one day you're going to be consumed, you're going to have a fire eating you up? Sinai Ha'alkein B'chol Bachar Elikim U'Moth B'Gedolim B'Zorach B'Gvulayich. We all know. Every child grows up. Right, that Chazal took notice of the fact that Sinai was not the biggest mountain. There were other mountains that seemingly would have been better candidates for Mount Taira, but Hashem passed over those other mountains and He chose Sinai. So we're all, of course, brought up to, right, we learn as children that that's because Hashem wanted to demonstrate humility. The Merami Rutenberg very boldly suggests, maybe somewhat, I don't know, tongue-in-cheek, that maybe for a different reason Hashem chose the small mountain. Li'ais l'mayfeis l'das, to be a omen. Ki t'smayit v'teirin mikvayda, that the Torah is going down. V'hein emshal m'shalayach, I'll give a mashal that describes you. Mashal l'melech asher bachal mishta b'noi. Imagine a king, he has a baby boy, he makes a party, he's crying at the party. Why? Because he foresaw that the child is going to die. You're doing the exact same thing. That Hashem gave Har Sinai on a small mountain, like crying at the Simcha, because He saw that the Torah is going to come to a terrible end. skipping a stanza, then it says, "Ayri demois adi yu kunachal." I'm going to cry tears till they become a river. And that river should reach the graves of your two masters, Moshe v'Aaron b'Har, the Eshal. And I, when he's imagining himself floating there on this river of tears, and then asking Moshe and Aaron, "Hayesh Torah Chadasha b'chein nisfu gililayich? You have a new Torah for us now that these scrolls have been burnt up." Started in the third month, Shavuos, into the fourth month, the Shviras Haluchais, right, in Shivas B'Tamuz, Godal Haluchais, V'Oid Shana B'Valtai, and now that Chodesh Tamuz, where the Luchais were smashed, now is repeating its sin. Listreif Be'Eis Dash, to burn the Torah, because this happened, it was Parshas Chukas, it was Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas when this happened. It was in Chodesh Tammuz. So he's putting, it's close to Shivas B'Tammuz. So he's putting that together. Hazet Tashlim Kefelayich. Esma L'Nafshi Ech Yerev L'Chiki Achal. He, a very poetic description of his torture. He says, "I wonder," the Maharam says, "I wonder at myself, a chier of l'chiki oichel. How could I possibly enjoy a taste of food after seeing what they did to the Torah?" I'm reminded, I don't remember where I read somewhere once about the Noeg Yehuda. Now, we're Noeg during the 9 days, we don't eat fleshes. So, you know, lasagna and you know, all sorts of nice pasta recipes and fish recipes and eggplant parmesan. We don't have fleishigs during the 9 days, but we eat very nicely. During the 9 days, he only ate crusts of bread. They asked him, "Where does it say that? You know, I eat fleishigs, but you like milk. Why are you only eating crusts of bread?" And he told his Talmidim, "Because I have no appetite." He felt it, so he felt the avelus from which Chodesh Av Mishenich Vazam Amad Mishimcha. He couldn't eat. When a person's depressed, he can't eat. The Maharam says, "Eich Yerav L'chiki Oichal, how can I enjoy a bite of food?" I'll take a chayv kenidacha. They gathered you and they treated you like a irnidachas. Jumping ahead and near the end, I want to take a look at another few very beautiful lines. Esma ma'oid al ma'or hayoyim. I wonder very much about the light of day, asher yizrach el koil, that shines for everyone else. Avol yachshach elai ve'layich, but is dark for me and for you. Zaki b'koil mar letzur, I cry out so bitterly to my God. Al shivroinech v'al choyech, for the Torah being broken and sick. V'lu yizker avas kulayach. I hope that he'll remember the joy of the wedding. And then, chigri l'vushak aliyah havara, asher yotzeh l'chalik v'safsas tulayach. And then nearing the end, kimei anuseich inacham echtzur. As the days of your affliction, so too should Hashem console you, talking to the Torah. V'yoshiv shvus shivtei yeshurun, and should bring back all of Kalas over Yarim es Shvalayach, and should raise up the low, the terror that was brought low. Oy tadi ba'adishani v'seif tikhi. You should again get dressed like a kala and hire the musicians. Teilchi b'machal v'tzali b'machalayach, and sing and dance. Yarim l'bavi, and my heart will then be raised up. Be'eis tzurech la'ar lach, at the time that your God will again shine as a light for you. V'yagi alachosh keich v'yayir afilayach, and will illuminate the darkness. The Ram said, and that's when my heart will be lifted up again. Besides being a lament for a sad song for what happened by the Sefer Talmud in the year 1242 L'Misparam, it's such a strong love song for the Torah. The feeling that's conveyed over here, the ahava that this Paitan has for the Torah is incredibly inspiring. There's a sadness, but there's also a beauty and an inspiration that makes us, going back to the first line, avim shchoyim b'chatzar zevulayich, right, that wish to dwell in the chatzar of the Torah, right, that wish to be back in the Beit HaMikdash. For him, what he meant was, as a Talmud Chacham in France, the Beit HaMikdash were locked, they were closed. He didn't have svarim, he couldn't learn. For us, reading this piyut, I think I read that, yeah, we're able to come into the Beit HaMikdash. But we wish, HaMisavim Shechayim B'chatzar Gevulayich, to live in the Beit HaMikdash like he did, to feel a little bit of the Avas HaTorah that the Maharam is sharing with us in this piyut.